listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
We should have had you do that live on the air.
We should have. I actually forgot about that particular intro.
You did, yes. We desperately need you to upgrade that or update that intro.
I'm ready.
We need to do that sometime.
We're going to have a few drinks, so I can just do it right after we're done with the show.
Well, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Monday afternoon. It's Brett Johnson joined by Dan Newkirk and also Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style and also from Habitation Furnishing and Design. Thanks, guys, for coming on in studio today. We have a special reason as to why you're in the studio, not because of what's in front of us. Well, partially, but...
booze. You just wanted free booze, didn't you, Johnson?
Exactly,
you knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But it's good to have you guys on. Dan, first time you've been on the Repartee before. Greg, I think you've been on the afternoon show once or twice in the past.
I think you've had me on, and then you kind of have shell shock afterwards. You don't invite me to do it again for a few months.
We make it an annual thing.
It's a special occasion.
Very special occasion. Dan, how you doing over there?
I'm just going to speak really slow. Anytime I feel like something might get bleeped, I'm just going to say it slower.
That's right. If you're not a listener of Drink in the Style, I occasionally, since I am the one who normally produces that show, I, on very rare occasions, have to actually bleep out Dan.
Rare occasions.
It's only progressive radio. I just want progressive.
Exactly.
We clean it up a little bit, but we're going to be on our best behavior.
You will. Just in case, we do have Sam Turnberg on the other side of the glass. And Sam, I hope you have the delay on.
I think out of all the producers on the weekend, I think I use the dump button more than anyone. So I'm a veteran at the dump button, so I'm ready.
There is a certain show that does use that more frequently than others. We're not going to name which show that is. I'll tell you guys during the break because you would probably never guess which show it is that
really
ends up using the dump button.
The fact that it's not ours, it's not so bad.
It's Lori Setz, isn't it? She's like a drunken sailor.
Oh, exactly. I mean, Sam, you can attest. I mean, it's every other word she's swearing.
Yeah. We just mute the whole episode at that point.
Oh, I hope she's listening and hears that.
That said, we'll find out. So listeners, though, if listeners are tracking us on Facebook Live in between the segment, they're going to be able to find out who this potty mouth is.
Mm-hmm. And also the announcer guy for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Yes, that's true.
So here's the reason why I brought you guys on. This was actually your idea because we got to talking about this, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
You noticed something about political talk shows and political podcasts, and it got me thinking too, and I kind of agreed with what your overall thoughts were.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I sent Chad an email, the station owner overall, because I was driving in, and as I usually do, I'm listening to some podcasts and maybe hopping back and forth onto the radio and things, and it occurs to me that everything is an exhausting litany of problems. Just this is wrong and I hate this and I'm angry at this and this is bad news. And I realized people don't ever talk about solutions to problems anymore. The closest they ever get to talking about solutions is attacking your potential solution on something and telling you why you're wrong. But very rarely does anybody say, here is the problem and here's what I think we should do about it. People just get down into the quagmire of fighting over that particular problem. And we need as a society and radio shows and podcasts in general need to start thinking about, all right, how do we fix the problems instead of let's just keep fighting over the problems. And we can go back to also whatever solutions do come up generally fall into one of two categories, either a solution from the 1960s Great Society and revisiting that, or a solution from the 1980s Reaganomics solution. And these are not – the world is not cut into two parts. So, you know, I said let's do a show where you're talking about how to fix these things.
Yeah, I want to make this a semi-regular thing. We'll see how it goes today. But I think even as you go through some of these solutions, you'll probably find bipartisan appeal where people from the right and the left will actually like the solutions when you go through and talk them through. I mean, one of our frequent conservative callers, Randy in Coon Rapids, I actually was talking to him off air, I think, last week about immigration. We actually agreed quite a bit on what some solutions could actually be to immigration reform. We might get into that later in the show, but like to invite – yeah, go ahead, Greg.
No, I was going to say, I think that's absolutely positively true. Again, yeah, keep going. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have cut you off.
Well, I was
– Dan, pour me a drink.
Well,
wait, I got the booze.
My dad and I actually, I know you, Brett, know that my dad's a conservative, and him and I argue a little bit, but oftentimes, yeah, we'll find out, like, well, we agree on a lot of this, but as you were mentioning, Greg, my dad listens to conservative talk radio a lot, and all they do is talk about shooting down solutions. They're never talking about actively looking for good solutions, and once we get past that, we usually find out there is some bipartisanship there.
Right? I mean, if you're a conspiracy theorist, it's all part of the game, is to make sure that we don't talk about solutions. We just keep fighting one another. But, I mean, look at it this way. Another concept that crossed my mind is, you know, Trump's attack, and I don't want to talk much about Trump, but, you know.
See, I wanted to avoid that too today, but I think we're going to go down that rabbit hole.
T-word. 45. I don't even recognize the number 45 anymore, you know. I don't even count. Mm-hmm. I go directly from 44 to 46.
Nobody recognizes when Michael Jordan quit basketball and went to baseball. It's number 45 either. So 45 just has a bad connotation to it.
The number has to be removed.
Stricken from
the numbers. A solution.
There is a solution. Yeah.
No 13th floor in an old school building and no 45th.
Anything.
Looks like the old office buildings where they never had a 13th floor in the elevator.
Yeah, exactly.
We might need to do the same thing with 45.
Exactly. Just sponge it. That's what the Egyptians used to do. You know, the pharaohs. There are certain pharaohs that just were erased from the history books.
Skip that one.
Yep. But all right. So the complaints about that Trump unleashed on the squad, if you will.
Right.
And it came down to, and it's boiled down to this this kind of America, love it or leave it. And if you don't love America, then shut the heck up. You got no right to be here. Well, I thought that Trump was elected because certain parts of the population thought that there were huge problems and those problems needed to be solved. But then conversely, you have a president who comes in, and when people come in with a solution of some kind, suddenly knee-jerk into, well, we don't need any fixes. The country is great as it currently stands. You eliminate the ability to talk about solutions by this constant politics of just right, left, I hate anything you have to say. It makes no sense.
I agree with that, too. I mean, I'm guilty of doing that on my show as well. Matt was kind of joking about that before we came on air. He was talking, oh, are you guys just riffing on my show? But I do that sometimes when
McNeil.
I host as well.
Oh, McNeil. Oh,
I hope he's listening right. But I mean, yeah, when I do Mondays and Thursdays, those are the days I normally host. Sometimes I come out of the show thinking, I talked about Trump that entire hour, and I just didn't feel good about how that show actually went. Mm-hmm. I feel like my best shows are actually when it is talking about solutions and staying positive and actually trying to find a way forward. So I love the idea. I hope we can make it a semi-regular thing. And here's our rule if you're calling in today, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You can come on the air and talk about a problem, but we need a solution. We don't want problems without solutions. This is going to be a little bit of a different format today, and I'm kind of digging how this is going to go to see if we can get some callers on, really propose any problem or any solution. We'll try to come up with something.
I love it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's not that we have the solutions, this is a new format, right?
So we're just talking through it, yeah.
But, you know, it's a matter of just getting the conversation started, and and you don't accept every solution, and no one's the arbiter of solutions, but just to come up with an answer. At least some kind of an answer instead of a complaint.
I love the idea. Again, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Well, if we don't get anyone calling in, we do have some pre-selected topics we'll talk about, including a real doozy of one. When I first asked you, what should we talk about as our first problem and our first solution, you hit me with like the absolute hardest one, the military-industrial complex.
I know, just start right there. It was low-hanging fruit,
Brett. Just pick the absolute toughest topic to try to find a solution for.
But it's not. But that's the whole thing.
Okay.
It's not.
Because I did think through some actual solutions that we'll get into, but you think it's actually easy.
All right. Well, let's set it up this way. Well, okay. I don't think it's easy. Nothing's easy. Trust me. I own a small business. Nothing's easy. But we should start with the fundamentals, right? I mean, here's the thing. This drives me through the wall. And listeners to my show know that, you know, I'm constantly delving into history for context in one form or another. By the way, we're drinking scotch because this is drinking the style offshoot, which means that Mr. Rich needs something to drink. Anyway, I'm sorry. But so
live radio.
I know. Sorry. So the military budget in 2018, look this up, is just under $700 billion was spent on the military. It's an insane amount. Incidentally, the Pentagon requested $650 billion, but Congress decided $700 is better.
Yeah, they ended up going actually to $750 billion. And just as a side note that I was going to mention, Back in December of 2018, Trump actually tweeted, I know I'm mentioning his name right here, but this is actually in kind of a positive way. He said $716 billion for a military budget. He called it crazy. And then, of course, he was actually called out by people on both the right, the left, and the center. So we actually ended up going to $750 billion. And as you said, they only asked for $650.
Yeah. Yeah. They increased it. And they only spent like $660 or $670 billion. They weren't even able to spend all the money that they were given. It's madness. And you know what? That is, depending on how you count it, what, more than the next 8 to 12 nations in the world combined. There was an article in the Washington Post this morning that kind of disputed that, but it wasn't a good article. So it's more money than even the military wanted to necessarily do it. And part of the reason that that they do this in Congress is that virtually every congressional district has some kind of job that has been created by the military-industrial complex. So they literally own the space. So here's the question. How do you fix that? If you were to just cut the military budget, you would wind up creating a catastrophe. You would wind up creating a depression. Unemployment would be,
Oh, exactly. In the streets. I mean, there's some congressional districts where that's, the primary employer. I mean, you would be cutting more than half their jobs.
Right, exactly. And I mean, that's chaos, and no politician is necessarily going to do that. And you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, you wouldn't want to give that kind of a jolt you don't take a heroin addict and suddenly just completely cut them off and leave them in a room and say, we'll see you on Monday, hope things go okay with you. You got to find a way to wean the person and wean the system off. So here's my solution to the military-industrial complex issue. And again, I don't know if this is a good one or not, but it seems to make sense to me. Simply, rather than spending all this money on tanks and planes and guns, which have no return, I mean, literally, it's a 10-year lifespan at most, and then it's scrap metal. It gives us nothing but immediate, jobs. Why not refocus the military production capabilities on infrastructure, which is something we desperately need? Go to Lockheed Martin and say, we were going to spend $50 billion on an additional 14 stealth fighters or whatever it is. We're going to give you that same amount of money, but we need you instead to start the development of high-tech maglev trains that are going to cut across the entire, United States. You're spending the same amount of money. You're preserving the jobs, but you're just focusing instead on things that have a return, things that are actually productive.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. I think Dan and I might share some thoughts on that. I have some other solutions as well that I've thought of. I don't know, Dan, if you have any yourself, but we're going to get into that up on the way next here on The Repartee with Brett, Gregory Rich, Dan Newkirk, and Sam Turnberg behind the glass. We're back on the other side of the break.
Be an info warrior and ignore everything these Soros puppets say. Hunter, Doug, and Brett spread Obama, globalist, Antifa propaganda. Ignore everything you hear on the Minnesota Progressive Liberty.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion, with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I was going to use the old phrasing they used in like 70s and 80s sitcoms, a very special episode.
Laugh track.
You're going to have Carol Burnett on?
Yeah, it's special. A very special episode of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We're just talking about solutions today. We can bring up problems, but we need a solution for it because, as you were talking about, so often when you get into political conversations, whether they're just person to person or if you're listening to a podcast or an actual live radio show like this, it's just negative news, talking about what Trump's done, what the Republicans have done, why the Democrats aren't going to win in 2020, why they're not moving further enough to the left, or why they're not more centrist. It's all negative, but we're coming up with solutions on the show, and we're talking about specifically the military-industrial complex, and we're going to get into some other topics as well. And by the way, you're welcome to join us as well, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You can call in with a solution to any problem you can think of. We are keeping it wide open, whether it's gerrymandering, Medicare, or right now the military-industrial complex, or
Or the Welsh.
Oh, that's
someone
right,
needs
yes.
a solution to that.
Listeners to Drink in the Style will know that Gregory Rich does not like people that are of Welsh descent. He does not like Wales.
I like the people. I just don't like the Welsh. It's a fine distinction. Really. I don't know why. I just like to pick on the Welsh.
No one ever picks on the Welsh.
Somebody has to put these people in line. They've gotten away with being completely unmaligned for a couple thousand years, as far as I can tell.
So let's go back to this conversation about the military-industrial complex. So basically you were talking that we could use this money that's allocated for the military without actually cutting or potentially losing jobs and put this towards something else, whether it's infrastructure or even education. Well, granted, as we were talking about, Lockheed Martin's not going to open up a school necessarily, but we can still use these funds and keep these jobs.
Yeah. You've got to understand. I mean, you can't – again, it's not an either or. You can't just – cut the entire budget. It would be a catastrophe. So you figure out what is a better solution. And my solution in this case is we already know we have a problem over here. Our bridges are crumbling. It takes forever to get from one end of the country to the other. It's absurd. Why not use these people who have this massive infrastructure and creating high-tech equipment and have them instead do something that produces benefit to us?
And it's something ongoing as well that needs to be replaced over the years because what's kind of true with the military is that, well, you can build these bullets, you can build these guns, you can build these tanks, but they go obsolete after a while if you don't use them. So that kind of just pushes us into more and more wars and conflicts because, well, there's no reason to build a new tank if you're not going to use it.
Right.
No reason to use. Yeah. What do you think about all this, Dan? You've been a little conspicuously quiet during the show.
You know, this is a whole different topic for me to actually talk about. And I get to talk about these things all the time at the bar because everybody, once they start drinking, always has an opinion on things. And go back to what Greg was talking about. I totally agree with creating things within the country, like getting across the country faster. Others, like China. China's building, you know, a train that can get you across exponentially faster than anything else. They're spending money on things like this, but they also have, you know, other issues that they're avoiding as well. Us, as the United States of America, we are a power force to be reckoned with, and we do spend way too much money on our military. One thing that we do avoid is education. And I'm not trying to be a bleeding heart left-wing liberal to the point where—
You're like, on the right station, though.
I know that, but I'm not trying to be that because I do believe we need to protect ourselves, brothers in arms, and yada, yada, yada. But we also need to make sure we have people that are qualified and educated and able to take the next steps to help us, you know, launch into the next century. Because unless we teach the ones coming up, we're going to be stuck in the same problem. If you can't afford to go to college, well, then your next choice is the military. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of convoluted because it seems like they're giving you no other option. You can't afford college. Well, go work for Uncle Sam. We'll give you the GI Bill, and we'll give you free veterinary or vet health care for the rest of your career.
I would support veterinary care as well.
Veterinary care is great.
A nice little perk for
animals are very important.
I love dogs.
I really are. No, it's a really good point. And you brought up another point on the military thing, because I'm going to keep hammering that for just a little bit. And that is that, you know, by building planes and tanks and things, that's primarily us. We can't sell that to that many other countries. I mean, we shouldn't in general. There's the whole Saudi Arabia thing, but it's a total issue. But if we are leaders in producing high-speed rail, or let's just imagine, you know, I don't know, whatever, maglev or flying, you know, buses or whatever, that stuff that we sell to other countries as well, that we don't have to worry about strengthening our enemies while we are producing, you know, these devices. Makes all the sense in the world. But the education thing is absolutely key as well, and that's a great solution. So let me ask you, Dan, the education system, college tuition, enormously high. Do you have a solution? How do you fix that?
Yeah, you have to drop fees. You have to drop what it costs to go to the school year round. I mean, you saw studies back in the 70s, the studies now, you could live on minimum wage and have your own apartment and feed yourself and go to school full time. You could do those things. That hasn't happened anymore. Inflation just kind of kicked the old bucket as far as the capabilities of somebody that's just struggling or trying to make it on the come up.
Yeah, that is I think one of the, I'd say probably like top three problems that we have.
Like how in the hell did we get so expensive to go get an education, which in this day and age is almost necessary? An undergraduate degree is almost as outdated as a high school diploma. Like without extra education, without upper education, without a master's certificate, without a PhD, you're really never going to be a player in that game. And I mean, I'm sure it's not going to stop anytime soon. You're going to have people with multiple PhDs, multiple master's degrees, and they're still probably going to be just barely making it, where then you have the entrepreneurial spirit, you have the athlete, you have the superstar, the actor, actresses, whatever. They're going to be making this money in this dumbfounded outcome, and these people are going to be chasing that instead of looking at, hey, I want to be the next president of the United States. Nobody wants to be the next president of the United States. They want to be the next Michael Jordan. I mean, LeBron James, like anybody else in a current status. But it's people are focusing and chasing the wrong thing because it doesn't really pay that well.
That's a great point. It comes down again to the cost of college, and you're right. And why did they? I mean, you know, you could argue the cost of college went up because the government started lending money for, you know, college, and colleges, being primarily businesses, realized they could raise up the tuitions, and it became this spiral of increasing costs. But how do you stop that particular spiral? Do you have any ideas, Brett?
On that, I really don't, because I'm not necessarily comfortable with just saying what a lot of people that are the presidential candidates, which are forgive all student debt. I don't necessarily think that's the solution.
That's not going to work.
No.
No, that's a problem.
That's a get elected and then dump it off to the side kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think we need to get to actually the root of why the costs have actually increased so much, because it's not a simple solution as to why the costs have actually increased tenfold over the past few decades. I mean, even when I went to college 15 years ago, back at Augsburg College, now Augsburg University, I think the tuition's gone up by at least 50% since then. And I don't know necessarily why it's increased that much.
You know what? I honestly don't. I would love to have a listener or somebody come in with an answer. I mean, you know, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, the technology now, I mean, we could deliver college education virtually to everyone, you know, across the country for literally fraction of what our college tuition was back in the day when I went, back in the late 20th century, which...
And why would we not want to equip the American people with the most... gifts, the most powerful gifts possible.
Well, that was the fundamental failure of the Clinton administration, I think, was, you know, the Clinton administration back in the 90s, as I recall, and I'm older than both of you guys, but when we started offshoring manufacturing, the concept back then was, you know, manufacturing is dirty, unhealthy, low-paying. We don't want these jobs necessarily. It's okay to send these offshore elsewhere where people will work for less money and what have you. But the other half of the equation was then we will retool our workforce for a new economy. Mm-hmm. Well, we did half of it. We offshored all of our manufacturing, but then we didn't provide any new skills. We didn't provide any new educational opportunities for people. Again, found a problem. Problem was... manufacturing is not a great thing and it's destroying our environment. But then they forgot the solution part and they instead created massive amounts of disaffected individuals who ultimately wound up voting for, you know, Donald Trump.
952-946-6205. We got a couple of phone calls on the line. Let's actually start off with John in Minneapolis since he wants to talk about kind of what we're talking about right now with the military-industrial complex, among other things. Hey there, John, what do you think?
Yes. Well, that's number two. But number one is we need to solve the healthcare mess that we have in the United States. We need to go to universal single-payer healthcare, which will cover everybody at half the cost we're now currently spending, have better health outcomes, and the proof of it is the entire rest of the world's already done it. So we know that it works. Number two is the topic you've been talking about. I'm so glad that you did it and you were doing a great job on that. On the military budget, which is just enormous and ridiculous, and instead that money should be redirected at the greatest threat, not just to America, but the greatest security threat to the world, which is global climate disaster or disruption. And the way to do that is to have at least 60% of the military budget shifted, and like you're saying, maybe to infrastructure, but also to directly to solve the problem of the energy issue of getting away from the carbon-based fuels and go to the alternatives that are available, and it would create millions of jobs and would make us prosperous, it would make us self-reliant, and it would make us very secure in terms of the enemy. We wouldn't have to be fighting over oil and all those other things. But the final thing is the problem of the minimum wage, and the way to do that is to go back to about 1968 and key the minimum wage to the wages of Congress and the President of the United States. And maybe it would be an average of whatever their increases are would go to the minimum wage because they keep increasing their salaries, but somehow or another they miss changing the minimum wage. So they should be linked, and that would maybe solve the problem so it automatically would get increased. So I like the idea of talking about the solutions as well as the problems, and I really enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, John. Yeah, a lot to kind of digest there. We're going to get into that Medicare idea that he was talking about just a second ago. But yeah, even in addition to talking about reinvesting some of the money that we spend with the military into transportation, we can also certainly put that into climate change because I loved what he said, because we often go to war, well, for lack of a better way of putting it, for oil. And if you're energy independent, we don't actually need to go to those countries in the first place. What do you guys think about what he was talking about?
Well, with some of the energy source, it kind of hits on two notes with redirecting towards climate change. I mean, right now we already have the technology that's starting to become a little bit more mainstream where we can literally take the cellulose, the sugars out of any plant, and we can transfer that into a viable energy source. I think its rating said in the next 20 years it only has the opportunity to take away about 30% of big oil. But I mean, 30% is 30%. I mean, taking care of our plastics problem, where you can actually literally put a timeline on a made plastic product of when it's going to be able to disintegrate into back into the soil. It's brilliant technology.
Absolutely true. I love that. That was great. Thank you, John. That was absolutely great. And he's right. I mean, the climate change issue, we need to be proactively. It's not enough now to simply stop. We're past that point. We need to reverse what we've already done. And that requires mechanicals that requires machinery. We need machines that literally will clean the air, that will literally pull the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. We need machines that will go and clean up the oceans and gather up that plastic. And again, why do we need more stealth bombers? Why don't we build a fleet of plastic gathering, you know, equipment?
Well, I love the messaging behind that too, because that's so often the battle when you talk about the Green New Deal or climate change, where if you can say, well, we're going to use this money that's already been appropriated to the military and change their mission. If you tell Lockheed Martin, or who are some of the other ones I'm blanking on?
You've got Boeing, McDonnell Douglas,
yeah.
All of those
usual suspects. Yeah, you can tell them, yeah, we'll still give you that same money that we give you to build bombers, to build tanks, to build guns, to build bullets. If you put that money towards climate change, I think you might actually have something right there where we're not actually spending any new money, because that's often the criticism we've heard from those on the other side of the aisle. Well, how are you going to pay for the Green New Deal? Well,
there it
there's
is.
A solution right there.
Exactly. The money's already there. And I might also add that having these companies do this, we can do what we've always done and countries have always done in the past. When the unthinkable happens, if you do wind up facing a war, you still have the infrastructure ready to retool and start creating weapons. I mean, it's absurd that we are in a constant state of military preparedness, ready to fight two front wars against two major powers at all times, when in fact we've always traditionally simply made things, and when we need to start making weapons, we shift things. And you could have that. You could have that exact system back again, but we'd be doing good in between any threats.
I think what you could also do too, because that will certainly be a criticism saying, well, how are you going to turn around and fight the next war when we're attacked? I think you can also turn this around and say we need a different type of military, because we're not going to be fighting an actual global World War III, at least I hope not. But that's very unlikely just the way modern warfare works now. Mm-hmm. It's much more with the intelligence community. It's much more with cybersecurity.
I totally blanked out for a second.
Stage fright.
Information. Information is the most valuable asset in the United States, in the world, in this day and age. And there's been many documentaries that have come out boasting that. Information is everything. Like, that's going to be the next step. We're not going to be fighting wars hand-to-hand combat anymore. They're going to be, things over the interweb, things in the world, in the atmosphere, things we don't have any ambition to see.
Well, I think just in the political realm of talking about reinvesting this money from the military into climate change, but then also having a separate pool of money to actually fight cybersecurity or technology, you know, along those lines, you can actually turn this around when you're actually criticized by someone saying, oh, well, you're not actually spending any money on the military. How are we going to fight that next war? Turn that around and actually play offense and say, well, you're against putting money into cybersecurity and that type of thing, because that's really, as you were saying, Dan, where the next war front is going to be. We've already seen that with the Russians getting into our election system. Turn that around, because I feel like so often on the left, we end up playing defense on an issue where they say, you're not spending enough on the military. And we just say, yes, we are. Well, that doesn't really do anything. Actually go back and play offense and attack the other side.
Right.
What do you think about all this, Sam?
I think that especially we were talking about the climate change issue. That's a big, like, we're not, well, any wars that we're in, we really don't need to be in. We're sticking our feet where they don't belong. But we have, like, essentially, quote unquote, a global war, and that is climate change. And we should be fighting that. And we actually do have a caller who wants to talk about ending plastics. I think that's a pretty great segue into that, if now's the time anyway.
Tell you what, we're actually running a little bit late here, Sam. Let's take a break and come back and take that call. Randy in St. Cloud, I know you've been holding for a while, but yeah, we actually talked about how to end plastics just a moment ago. So we're going to get into more detail on that in just a moment on the Solutions edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, with a little bit of drinks as well.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Chances are after spring cleaning you missed a spot, a couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding, you'll likely get a gross residue, and your roof probably has some black streaks too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Racial tension is popping up in unexpected places, but it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe we can reduce the awkwardness and the tension. What can we do? Join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska on Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. for a one-hour talk with Jamila Anderson, a nationwide diversity trainer and teacher. Her presentation, Empathy and Equity, provides valuable tools for those who want to de-escalate the tension in any conversation, like in the Chaska School District. This is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. The Big Red Rockers out front, 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by residents organized against racism and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at chaskachurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a low around 55. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 75. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 83. Empathy and Equity, a one-hour talk with Jamila Anderson, nationwide diversity trainer and teacher. Her presentation, Empathy and Equity, provides valuable tools for those who want to de-escalate racial tension in any conversation. That's tomorrow, July 30th at Shepherd of the Hill, Chaska Church.
And we are back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, the Solutions Edition. We need to come up with a better name.
Drink in the Wisdom.
Drink in the Wisdom, because if you're not aware, we do have Gregory Rich and Dan Newkirk, who are co-hosts, I guess we could say, on the Drink in the Style show, which you can hear Sundays at 5 p.m., conversations about interior design with a little booze mixed in, among other topics.
Art, anything architecture, aesthetic? All things aesthetic, all under the umbrella of a cocktail.
And we've kind of brought that same style to our Monday afternoon Minnesota Progressive Repartee, because this whole idea stemmed from the fact that so often when you hear political talk shows, whether it's on the radio or TV or if you're talking podcasts, it's all what's going wrong with the country. It's all problems, problems, problems. No actual solutions. So I kind of like this switch up here of talking positive and how we can actually move forward as a country and a state.
I think it also is a nice way to be able to interact with people too. When you're having discussions, it's becoming so hard to talk to people. Let's just talk about solutions. We know the problems. Let's talk about how to fix them instead of just saying why you're wrong.
And as I said, I've been guilty of that myself on the show. So was Hunter, where we often just read the news of the day and it's just nothing but negative. It's good to get a little positive occasionally.
Absolutely true.
And I think our listeners are liking that as well, as we've had full phone lines for most of the show. We do have two phone calls, though, that we'll get to in just a second. In fact, actually, let's go to Randy in St. Cloud right now. He's been hanging on forever. He wants to talk about the ending of plastics. Hey, Randy in St. Cloud, what do you think?
Well, thanks. Hey, I'm positive that we're screwed. No. I want to say first off, on the military spending, we have to keep making tanks because the tanks are manufactured in 26 states and in about 147 congressional districts, so they have to keep voting to build more tanks.
Well, they have to keep building something, but it doesn't have to be tanks.
Oh, no, because they're all set to make tanks. Anyway, no, I'm being facetious, as that will suffice. Anyway, what I wanted to say is on the plastics thing, like we give all these subsidies to the oil companies, which is just completely insane because they make so much money on their own. Why do we give them a nickel? But they also, a big hunk of what they're doing, and they're increasing the amount of plastics they're manufacturing. Plastics are manufactured out of the byproducts of the crap they make for gasoline and oil. So, and what I didn't realize is that we can make almost all the same stuff out of hemp. And almost everything that we make out of plastics, we can make bags, we can make straws, we can make all kinds of single-use plastic crap out of hemp. And when you're done with that stuff, you can throw it in your backyard, and 3 months later, it will be in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just insane. There's an island in the Pacific that is now, when I first heard about it, it was the size of, I think it was Maine. Now it's the size of Texas. It's an island of plastics.
Oh, I've heard of that, too.
In the Pacific Ocean.
They're going to call it New Staten Island.
It's insane. And so if we just quit making all of that crap and started producing. The other thing I didn't realize is cotton is an extremely dirty plant. I didn't know this. Hmm. 1/4 of all the pesticides that are used on the planet Earth are used on cotton.
Really?
Guess what? That's insane.
I didn't know that. And I looked it up, and it appears to be the case. It wasn't just some clown like me saying it. It appears to be a verified fact that they use 1/4 of all that crap is on cotton because it's very susceptible to bugs, and that it takes a huge amount of water to produce cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We can make the same. We can make a hardier fabric and a cleaner fabric using almost no pesticides out of hemp.
Yeah, and you save all those jobs, right? I mean, that's a perfect example. That's a solution. There it is. You've got a problem of cotton becoming and plastic becoming, you know, these things, and you don't just argue about, you know, will cost you jobs. There it is. You can talk about it, and you can say, and this is how we solve the problem at a zero baseline.
Right, and you're saving so many different factions of what's a problem, and the next huge wars are going to be about water. So
if
we could reduce our use of water for making cotton and reduce our use of, well, like pulp, it takes 4 acres, you plant trees on 4 acres of land right now, and in 20 years, you'll be able to make paper. Guess what? On 1 acre of land, you make the same amount of paper out of the pulp that you can gather in 3 months out of hemp. In 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's solutions.
It's one of the strangest things about America.
Oh, thanks so much there, Randy. Well, that is some great information. I did not know a lot about this. I've heard of hemp before, they've been talking about this at the legislature for a while, but a lot of uses for it.
Yeah, wasn't the first, didn't I once read that like the first copy of the Declaration of Independence was printed on hemp?
Yep, you're right about that.
Effect. Okay.
Yeah, without it, yeah, it's crazy. But you know, he also mentioned another thing that's kind of interesting over water, which is key. I've never fully understood. I mean, everybody talks about water being, you know, a critical and diminishing resource, but desalinization is something that is achievable and can be done. It's expensive right now,
mm-hmm.
but to tie it back, and I don't want to keep pounding on the military-industrial thing, but again, when you've got $700 billion a year being spent on, you know, on the military when, you know, we have no major military threats, how do you save – what do you use all that money for? Creation of desalinization systems and equipment, extremely expensive initially, but you could scale that up and you could be desalinizing water and you could be creating huge amounts of fresh water that would avoid the need for the next great conflict.
So I'm not familiar with that process. What exactly is that?
So desalinization of salt water, removing the salt from from salt water, is, you know, is an achievable thing. It's just very expensive. It requires huge plants.
Okay.
It requires a lot of energy being used. But it's only expensive and it's only unachievable because we haven't spent that much time and that much, you know, resources trying to make it an option because fresh water has been relatively plentiful and cheap to this point. So, I mean, but it ties back to, again, there's a problem, there's a solution on that. The hemp thing, I think, is absolutely great as well, though, because he's right. I mean, it wouldn't take that much to retool our agricultural infrastructure to grow hemp instead of cotton. It's just that we have vested interests. And at this point, we've given so much power to the vested interest. And this is part of why we never talk about solutions, is because our conversations are dominated by those who already have influence, and they don't want us necessarily talking about it.
Preserving the status quo.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's just easier to do that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's an interesting idea you're talking about, actually taking salt water potentially out of the ocean and then using that as drinking water.
Right.
Is that actually a Band-Aid solution, though? Because what if you actually start running out of
salt water
eventually.
Oh, yeah. I think we have just too many people on the planet.
Yeah, then you just
Well, luckily, because of global warming, water levels. We've got an abundance of water.
I just don't like the idea of necessarily using a finite resource, just replacing one with another. But
well, I mean, it's an ecosystem, right? It's the water. Neither is, you know, created nor destroyed. It just is changing form, you know, from, you know, hydrogen and oxygen separating and coming back together. So, I mean, it ultimately is always a zero baseline or zero-sum game is what I'm trying to say on that. It's a matter of what form it necessarily takes.
This is why I was horrible at science in high school. Of all things, I was actually really good at math but terrible at science.
Really?
Go figure with that.
See, I learned all this off the kid I was cheating off of next and somehow it stuck.
There you go.
As far as I know. Although there may be a caller who's calling in saying the guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Hey, let's move on to our frequent caller, Mark in Fridley. He wants to talk about the military. Hey there, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Well, hang on. Well, as a well-known national security whistleblower myself, I've always advocated to people that have come to me, don't come to me with the problems, come with the solution. And also, we need to understand the historic content, and we need to understand that we need to address the root of the problem. We need to address the disease and not the symptoms. You guys, you sound like smart guys. The technology that you're looking or waiting for already exists in cold fusion and Keshi technology. But you have to look back to the historical context of this. J.P. Morgan told the world's smartest human being ever, Nikola Tesla, "Nick, the problem with free energy is that it's free." And if we look back at when the Wright brothers flew a kite with a little engine on the back and they called that flight, to 60 years later, we're landing on the moon and we're still driving around in internal combustion engines. It's all about the oil. It's all about the Benjamins. It's all, you know, we have clean technology. And Randy from St. Cloud, we might need that plastic continent because that might be the only place that we can live on that's floating after the polar ice caps melt.
Oh, man.
That's planning ahead. That's, you know, you're right, man.
The people have to understand. General Wesley Clark is a four-star retired Army general. He was Supreme Allied Commander. His direct quote was, "The purpose of the military is to start wars and overthrow governments." We had people that tried to make change, people like John F. Kennedy, people like Robert F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy said, "Too many people enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of actual thought." Martin Luther King, Malcolm X said that you got to be careful with newspapers because they can get you to hate the people who are being oppressed and, you know, admire the people that are doing the oppressing. And so people have to understand that there are forces, and I use an acronym, I call them PRICS, people really in charge. And so we have to understand, we really have a democratic republic?
Hey, Mark.
Does voting really matter? I mean, we know that the primaries now are just political theater that don't really matter. We know that as a fact now. We know that our media is not paid to inform us or to educate us. Their job is to get people to believe stuff that's not true. And I believe our biggest problem, and I've said this before, is that we don't have an independent media. Now, the BBC is supposed to be taxpayer-funded, but they're as corrupt as we are. But we need to have a source, not far left, not far right, in the middle, where we can go to a Walter Cronkite every night and be told the real truth.
People so how do you enforce that, though? Is there a way? I mean, do we bring back
the
fairness
doctrine? Hey, Mark, I'm just going to let you go here, too, because I want to get to one other caller. But, yeah, go ahead there, Gregory. Yeah, what were you saying?
I'm sorry. I was just going to say. So I agree. I mean, but the question is, how do we get balance and truth back into the media? I mean, some people think that it all collapsed after the fairness doctrine was revoked in the 80s overall, but, you know, which is basically legislating balance overall. Mm-hmm. But that, of course, was removed for a reason. But is that is that how you restore credibility to the media?
Well, I think part of it happened, too, back in the 70s, where basically you had newsrooms that weren't driven by profit. News departments at TV networks were actually expected to lose money back in the 60s and 70s. I'm not sure when exactly that changed. I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s, right actually around when the Fairness Doctrine came into effect. But somehow if you were acquired, like a TV network or even a large radio, I don't want to say us because we're a small radio station, we don't have the funds for that, to actually have a news department that overall is going to lose money, that doesn't have a profit motive, because generally you are trying to cover stories that, well, don't really matter.
So you're opening the door now for my discussion on the need for philosophy to be taught in schools again at an early age, but that's probably a different rabbit hole
that
for
could
a different
be,
day.
We have lots of problems and solutions to talk about probably for another day. We didn't even get to the healthcare discussion, did we?
Are we done?
We are not. We still have a minute and 30 seconds left.
I can cover healthcare in a minute.
Let's go to our last caller of the day, though. This is Steve in Minneapolis. Hey there, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hi. I wanted to bring out bamboo. I have a cooking spoon for the kitchen made of bamboo and several plates made of bamboo.
Bamboo is like it grows quickly. It's got great strength to weight ratio.
High sustainability, takes about the same amount of water per acre to yield something usable as sugar cane, which I know because of rum.
Excellent. And I happen to know a lot because of furniture. But I also know that bamboo furniture doesn't sell all that well, which is a whole cultural shift that needs to be addressed.
And see, I'm a terrible cook, so I have no idea at all. What uses we could use for bamboo. Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Steve. Oh, man, we are out of time for today on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This has been fun, though. I think we need to make this a regular thing maybe about every week or so.
I've enjoyed this a great deal.
This is a different spin on politics, which I think is absolutely necessary, especially in today's day and age with the number 45 in the White House.
I think the listeners enjoyed it, too, because we had a full phone board this entire show.
Absolutely. So send us some feedback on Facebook as well if you'd like to make this a regular weekly thing. Hopefully you guys can be part of this as well.
We'd love to.
This is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's it for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hunters in tomorrow. We'll see you then. You think you're gonna get around it.